This podcast is a ministry of Oriel Christian Assembly in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit our website at www.orielchristianassembly.org.
This is a message that's been in my spirit for a few weeks, and Wednesday, we kind of talked about some things on Wednesday night, and some of our people suggested that some of what I said on Wednesday would be good to be said on Sunday morning, because some of you do not come on Wednesday night, and it was pretty important what we shared on this Wednesday. So some of that will be in this message, okay? But the title of this message is called The Inner Circle. The Inner Circle. Okay, the inner circle. You say, well, what do you mean by that title? Well, how many know that Jesus had 12 disciples? Okay, he had the main 12 disciples. But within the 12 disciples, there were three disciples who were called the inner circle. Okay, and those three disciples, which I'm sure you might know, are Peter, James, and John. Okay, they were referred to as the inner circle. Okay, you could use different terminology today. They were the inner core. You know, all 12 were important, but these three were kind of special. Okay, and today I want to go through that with you. Why were they looked at as the inner circle? You know, why did they do some things that the other nine didn't do? What was different about these three compared to the other nine? Why do we call them the inner circle? You know, what is that all about? I want to talk about that with you today, because it's like us here at church. We're all here. We're all part of the family of God. We're all the church of God here. But there is a group within the group. Okay, there is a core here that I really depend on, that I look to really make sure ministry goes forth. Not that everybody's not important, everybody's important, but there are certain ones who do more than others, okay? So I want you to think about that today as we go through the scriptures. I don't know if I'm going to get through this all today. I want to. We'll see how the Lord leads. But I have three different places in the scripture that we're going to look at that relate to Jesus with Peter, James, and John, okay? These three different places, we're going to see how the Lord particularly had those three disciples with him. Even though the others may have been there, those three had a special place with the Lord. And we want to analyze that a little bit today and see why is that, okay? The first one we're going to look at is the story about the daughter of Jairus, or Jairus, however you want to say it, who was a ruler. He was a ruler of the synagogue, okay? So I want you to turn with me to Mark chapter 5, okay? Mark chapter 5. Now I'm going to try to go through each one real quick. I'm not going to, you know, bring out a lot of different notes. But I want you to notice in every situation here what took place, okay? There's a reasoning for everything here, and I want to relate that to us today. The inner circle or the outer circle? You know, where are we today? Are we in the inner circle with the Lord, or are we part of the circle, but we're kind of on the outside, you know? Only you can answer that today. I can't answer that for you where you are today. So in Mark chapter 5, we're going to read verses 35 to 43. Mark 5, 35 to 43. It says, "While he yet spake," this is Jesus, of course, "there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe." It's a powerful phrase right there. That we could all receive that today. Don't be afraid, only believe. Anybody say amen to that? Don't be afraid. You know, when things come our way, don't be afraid, only believe. This is what he said to Jairus, who was the father of this young daughter, this damsel. Now look at verse 37. He says, "And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James." So we see the story here. All of a sudden, Jesus, he makes a distinction here. Okay? In the Amplified Bible, it's put a little bit different. It says that Jesus permitted no one to accompany him except Peter, James, and John. Alright? I say, why is that? You know, why didn't Jesus say, "Okay, disciples, all 12 of you, let's go"? He didn't do that. He says, "I just want you three to go with me. Peter, James, and John." Interesting. Let's see what happens here. Okay? Going on. Verse 38. It says, "And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue." So we see they left and went to Jairus' house. "And he seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly." So he goes to the house of Jairus, where the young daughter is, the damsel, and he sees it's kind of crazy there. All right? There's weeping, there's crying, you know, they're just beside themselves. They don't know what to do, okay? They don't know what's going to happen to this young daughter. They're just beside themselves. So Jesus, with the three, comes into the picture here. And look at it in verse 39. He says, "And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth." So Jesus questions them. He says, you know, why are you making such a big deal about this? Why are you weeping? Why are you crying? Why are you out of control? Okay? He says, this doesn't need to be. She's not dead. She's sleeping. Okay? She's not dead. She's sleeping. Now look at how they react here. Let's look at this. Verse 40. It says, "And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out..." Now I want you to pay attention to what we just read here. What did he do? He put them all out. "He taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him." Who was with him? Peter, James, and John. Amen. "And he entered in where the damsel was lying." Okay? So we see here another kind of distinction here. What does Jesus do when he gets to this house? He finds out what's happening. It's kind of crazy there. You know, they're crying, they're weeping, they're out of control. Jesus tries to bring some control and some peace, and he tells them, you know what, she's not dead. You may think she's dead, she's sleeping. So they react to that. They think he's nuts, okay? They actually mock Jesus. They laugh at Jesus. You know, there's a lot of people today that laugh at Jesus. A lot of people, they mock God's word, okay? They don't believe God's word. It's no different today, all right? Well, sometimes we talk to people about Jesus, they think we're crazy, okay? Hasn't changed, all right? But interesting here, Jesus, after they laugh at him, they kind of mock him, they challenge him. Has anybody ever been challenged here by anybody? People will challenge you. Amen? You have to be ready for the challenge. Alright? When you talk to people about the Lord, you better be ready, because not everybody's going to agree with you. Amen? People will challenge what you have to say. You must be prepared. Alright? So they challenged the divinity of Jesus. They challenged who Jesus was. Okay? They weren't just laughing and mocking at what he said, but they were laughing at him in particular. All right? So what does he do? He takes the father and the mother of this young girl. Okay? And it says, the rest of them, he puts them out. Those who did he put out? Those who were what? Mocking him, right? Laughing, who thought he was crazy. Amen. How many know when things are going to happen, you better be in agreement. Amen. If you don't believe, if you're not in agreement with somebody, you know what? It's not going to work. So Jesus, he says, you know what? You don't believe what I'm saying. You think I'm crazy. You're laughing at me. You need to leave. Okay. I like though how it's said here. The King James is pretty blunt. It says he put them all out. All right. Jesus didn't mess around. Okay. He put them out. He says, you know what? You need to leave right now. All right. Sometimes we need to do things like that. So he puts them out. He takes the father and the mother and them that were with him, which were Peter, James, and John. Okay. And they go into the room where the damsel is lying. Praise God. What happens then? Let's see. In verse 41, he says, and he took the damsel by the hand, and he said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Amen. This is Jesus at work. Amen. And verse 42, it says, and straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And it says, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. Okay? So, I believe Jesus, he did what he did for a purpose. Okay? He had to make sure those who did not believe, those who were not in agreement, were out of the room, because in order for this to happen, Jesus needed people with him who believed. Amen? Jesus needed those who really cared to be there. Amen? Jesus needed those who were really concerned to be in agreement with him. Amen? So, you know, the father and mother, they were with Jesus. They were going to follow his direction. Amen? But interesting here, he takes certain disciples with him. He didn't take them all. He takes Peter, James, and John, all right, to be with them. And after they go in, you notice here, Jesus didn't have to pray for an hour. Amen? He didn't have to, you know, get the oil out and you know, lay hands on this damsel and do all kinds of things. I'm not saying that's wrong. That's all scriptural when we do that. But Jesus, you know, he moved quick. Amen? I wish we were as quick as him, amen? Because we're not as anointed as him. We know that. But he goes to the situation and he just speaks to her. And because there's agreement, they're all in one accord, they believe, she rises up from that bed. Amen? A miracle takes place, amen? And it says here that in verse 42, she was only 12 years old. Then it says, they were astonished. What a great astonishment. Okay? Now, I want to talk about that for a moment. Who was astonished? Okay? Who was astonished? I believe it was the father and the mother that were astonished. Amen? I don't believe Peter, James, and John were astonished. That's why they were there, because they believed that it could happen. They had been with Jesus, and they've seen the miracles of Jesus. But this father and mother, you know what? They may have believed, but they still were astonished, okay? Sometimes we get astonished when God does something for us, amen? Doesn't mean we don't believe, but we act like it, because when it happens, we're like, it happened, you know? It's like we maybe really didn't believe. So they were astonished. They were in awe of what God did here, okay? That this young child, this young daughter, had been healed. Okay? There is a reason why they were healed, or she was healed, because the right people were in the room. Amen? The people that were with Jesus were close to Jesus right now. Okay? They had to be close to Jesus. They had to be in agreement. They had to flow together, and then this miracle happens. All right? Now look at how Jesus responds to them. After this takes place, he says in verse 43, he says, and he charged them straitly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Okay? If you know Jesus and how his ministry was, he did this a lot in the scriptures. When he would heal somebody, he would tell them, now don't go tell anybody. You know, go see your priest or go get cleansed. Or he would tell them different things. And that's what he told them here. He says he charged them not to go and tell anybody. All right? And he says, you know what? You need to give her something to eat now. She's hungry. Amen. Jesus didn't, he didn't want to spread the word because it was already spread what Jesus was doing. And if more people found out of what was happening, they would just throng at him. Okay? So we'd tell people, you don't need to say anything. You know? Keep this within yourself. Now that's not what we want today, of course. All right? We want, if God heals us, we want to know about it. Amen? You know, there was a purpose why Jesus said that, okay? But when God does a miracle for us, we need to tell somebody. Amen? We need to share it because people need to see that God is still alive today. He's still okay. Amen? He still works miracles, all right? He's still on the throne, Jesus. Amen? So this is the first situation or first point in the scriptures that we see Jesus performing a miracle with the inner circle. Let's go to the next one. Mark chapter 9. So you don't have to go far. Mark chapter 9. Every one of these you should know today. All right, this should not be new to you, especially this one that we're going to now. In Mark chapter 9, we're going to read the story about the transfiguration. Okay? When Jesus really revealed himself to them. Let's see what happens here. We're going to start at verse 2 of Mark chapter 9. Okay? It says this, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him," who did he take? Pay attention. "Peter and James and John." Boy, that sounds familiar. Amen. "And he leadeth them up into a high mountain, apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them." So what happens here? He takes the inner circle again. He didn't take the 12. You know, why wouldn't he take the 12? He takes the 3. He takes Peter, James, and John, and he brings them to a high mountain. He says, apart. They're just by themselves. Jesus and the 3. Okay? And he transfigures before them. Let's go on and read the next part here. Verse 3. "And his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them." So, I mean, he just reveals himself before these 3 disciples. He shows who he really was, okay? He opens up himself before these 3. What an awesome thing this must have been for them to be at this place with Jesus when he really lets the glory shine through him, okay? Didn't do it with everybody. Did it with Peter, James, and John. Wow, interesting. Verse 4 continues to increase here. What happens? And in verse 4 it says, "And there appeared unto them Elias," who is Elijah, "with Moses." Wow. "And they were talking with Jesus." Oh my God. Can you imagine that? They're with Jesus, and Jesus is revealing himself. Now all of a sudden, out of nowhere, here comes Elijah and Moses. And they're seeing this. Who? All the disciples? No. Peter, James, and John. Wow. So they're seeing the miraculous here. My God. To be in the presence of Jesus revealing himself, but then all of a sudden to be able to see Elijah and Moses. Wow. That had to blow them away. I mean, I just think about it. I can't even imagine how I would react, okay? It was a tremendous moment for the inner circle, the 3 main disciples, okay? Let's go on. You get to see how they react now. And Peter in verse 5 says, "He answered and he said to Jesus, Master," that was powerful, "it is good for us to be here. And let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." Amen? I mean, Peter's in awe, okay? I'm sure all 3 of them were. But Peter was always the one to speak. We know that, amen? Peter never held back, Some say he had the big mouth. Well, you know, it's good though. Most of the time when he talked a good talk, all right? Sometimes he messed up. We know that. But I like what he says. He says, Master, you know what? It's good for us to be here. He knew that he was supposed to be there. Okay? Why? Because he was part of that inner group. Amen? He was part of that inner circle that was really close to Jesus. He said, man, Master, Jesus, I'm so glad I'm here. I'm supposed to be here. Amen. What an awesome statement to make. And he's so in awe of the Lord and of seeing Elijah and Moses. He wants to build a tabernacle or really an altar for them. Okay? That's a beautiful thing, right? It doesn't stop there. It continues here. In verse 6, he says, For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. So, you know, Peter didn't really know what to say. Okay? He was in awe. All three of them were. Two of them didn't even say anything that's recorded. Okay? But they were just in awe of God and of what was happening. They were sore afraid, or they were, you know, fearfully respecting what was happening. That we would do the same thing today. If all of a sudden Moses appeared here or Elijah, we would be in awe. We'd say, oh my God, you know, what do we have to thank this for happening? How did this happen today? Amen? I mean, that's, you know, they didn't know what, they were astonished. Like the other thing we just read about Jairus' daughter when she got healed. They were astonished. They were amazed at what they were seeing. Okay? You and I would have done the same thing. But it doesn't stop. Verse 7, it says, And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. So picture this. Not only does Jesus reveal himself to them, not only does Elijah and Moses show up in this place, in this mountain, but now God the Father speaks. Amen? He speaks and he tells them, you know what? This is my beloved Son. Hear him. Okay? Listen to him. Praise God. I think this is so tremendous, all right? Because when you're in that inner group, when you're in that inner circle with the Lord, you know what? You're going to see things that everybody else might not see. Amen? And not only are you going to see some things, but you're going to hear some things that everybody else may not hear. Why? Because you're so in tune with God. Amen? You're in that place that you're sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord. Okay? It's not that you're more special than the person next to you, but you have a desire to be there. Like Peter said, it's good for me to be here, Lord. I want to be here. Amen. Is that where we're at today? Hallelujah. Do you want to be in a place like these three were, where you can see the miraculous and hear the miraculous? Amen. Wow. It's awesome today. It's for us if we want it. Amen. Verse 8, And suddenly when they had looked round about, they saw no man anymore save Jesus only with themselves. It was a brief moment. It was a special moment that they got to see this. And then all of a sudden, it was gone. Okay? It was gone. And then it says here in verse 9, And as they came down from the mountain, he, meaning Jesus, charged them that they should tell no man, there it is again, what things they had seen till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. Wow. Again, Jesus tells them, you know what? What you saw, what you heard right now, you know what? I don't want you to go and tell everybody. Wait till I die, and then when I'm risen from the dead, then you can begin to share this. This was something special. You know what? When you're close with God, there's some things you can't share with everybody. Amen? You're going to see some things that, you know what, the Lord may not let you share with anybody. Praise God. You may hear some things that God might say to you, this is for you. Don't share this. Okay? That's what happened here in this mountain. Praise God. What a situation. What a circumstance. What an experience that only three of them got to have. Okay? I'm sure had to change their life. Okay? They were changing, but this had to really change them. Okay? When you have a visual and you see something, you know, like they did, it's going to change you for life. And when you hear what they heard, the voice of God, it should change you for life. I know these three were not the same anymore after this time. That's two different places that we read about the inner circle. Now there's one more I want to go to today. Turn with me to Matthew 26. In Matthew 26, this is the story of the Garden of Gethsemane. Okay? This is a very difficult time in Jesus' walk to the cross. This is before he goes to the cross, okay? And you know the story here. We're not going to read it all, but we're going to read a few verses here. What happens at the Garden of Gethsemane? Who's with him? You know, what takes place here? I don't know if you ever paid attention to this, but it happens again. All right, he does certain things, Jesus, here. We're going to read verses 36 to 38. So let's read that. In verse 36 it says, "Then cometh Jesus with them," meaning the disciples. All the disciples were with him here, okay? "Unto a place called Gethsemane. And he saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." All right, so first instruction we see here is the disciples are all with Jesus. The 12 are with him. Well, not really the 12, the 11, because we know Judas already had been gone. Okay? He already had gone and betrayed Jesus, and you know that story, okay? So the other 11 are here with him. So first he tells them, you know what? I want you to sit here and while I go and pray over there. But he doesn't stop. Then we go to the next verse. In verse 37 it says, "And he took with him," who is it? "Peter and the two sons of Zebedee," which is James and John. "And he began to be sorrowful and very heavy." Okay? So, he makes a distinction here again. First he has all of them together. He says, you know what? I want you all to sit here and stay here while I'm going to go further and I'm going to pray. But then he says, you know what? Peter, James, and John, come with me. Okay? Why didn't he tell them all come with him? No. There's a reason. Okay? He wants the three again. He wants Peter, James, and John. And interesting here, look at what begins to happen. He tells us in verse 37, "And then he began to be sorrowful and very heavy." Jesus, with the three here, began to expose himself to them. Okay? As Jesus was the main figure here, you know what? He began to show his heart to those three. He couldn't share everything with the other ones. Okay? I'm sure he wanted to, but he knew these three were more attentive to him. They were more closer to him. Okay? He began to what? Share how he felt. He had a heavy heart. He had a sorrowful heart. He began to share what he had inside unto these three. He didn't do it with everybody here. Okay? And you know what? That's still the same today. As a pastor, or you can look to someone in the workplace as a manager or owner. You know what? That person in leadership, when he needs to share his heart, he usually is only going to share it with a few people. Okay? Why? Because these people he can depend on. Amen? These people he has a lot of trust in. Amen? These people he feels that, you know what? What he shares with them, it ain't going to go nowhere else. Amen? How many know what I'm talking about? Jesus here had to share what he was feeling. And what does he do? He does it with Peter, James, and John. That's really important. Okay? Jesus had a weight on him, and he needed to begin to share his heart, so he does it with the inner circle. He tells the other ones, you stay over here. Okay? There's a reason for that. And then look at what happens in verse 38. He says, "Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." Wow. He really shares his heart with them. He says, "You know what? I'm really sorrowful. I'm really hurting on the inside, even hurting enough as unto death." Okay? He really shares what he's feeling. And now he gives them directions. Okay? He says, "I want you to tarry here and watch with me." All right? "I want you to tarry here," or "wait here and watch with me." Okay? And you know, as you read further, you understand more. He didn't want them just to watch, because, you know, they knew that Judas was going to come with the soldiers to get him. So Jesus wanted them to watch, okay? But he also wanted them to watch and what? Pray. Okay? He depends not on all 11 of them. He only says this to the three: Peter, James, and John. Because he could depend on them. All right? He says, "I need you to watch for me. I'm going to go a little further and I'm going to pray now, but I want you to keep focus. I want you to watch and I want you to pray." Praise God. Who? The inner circle. Amen. Who? Peter, James, and John. Amen. Again, it doesn't make the other disciples bad, but there was something different about these three. Okay? Something different about Peter, James, and John. I want to talk to you just a little bit about these three. Okay? And about Peter. When we think about Peter, there's a lot we can look at the scriptures. Okay? But there's a scripture that we want to look at with him that really says where Peter was. And really, all three of them. In Matthew 19:27, we're going to look at a scripture here. And Peter says this. In Matthew 19:27, in this story, we actually read these scriptures recently about how riches can be perilous, how wealth can be perilous. This is at the end of that story with the rich young ruler. Now in this verse, this is Peter speaking here. We're going to read just the one verse, 27. It says, "Then answered Peter," he answered unto Jesus, "and he said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and follow thee. What shall we have therefore?" That really says a lot right there about not only Peter, but James and John. He says here to Jesus, "You know what? Jesus, we have forsaken all." These three, there's something about these three. I'm not saying the other nine didn't forsake all, but these three, they really forsake all and they really followed him. Okay? Meaning, they were tight with Jesus. Okay? They were close to Jesus. I believe, you know, even though the 12 were with Jesus most of the time, even though we read about three different situations here, there were probably other situations that, you know what, all 12 didn't go with Jesus. Only three of them did. Because that was the inner circle. Okay? That was the group that was really close to God. They really knew the mind of God. They knew the mind of Jesus. They really knew the heart of Jesus, and they were so close to him, they were all like one together. Amen? And God wants us to be that way today. Amen? God wants us to be in that kind of a place with the Lord. And we may not have to forsake all, okay? And you have to take that with a grain of salt, because if you think about the disciples, I mean, they really did forsake all. They left their job, what they used to do. You know, most of them were fishermen. They left what they were doing to follow Jesus. Now, I don't believe Jesus wants us to leave our jobs, and you know where I'm going with this. But he wants us to forsake anything that would stop us from following God today. Can I get an amen? He does. We should be able to say that. Lord, we're going to forsake everything that would stop us from following you today. Because we want to follow you. Just like Peter said here. Lord, we've forsaken all. We have followed you. What shall we have? Well, Jesus gives them the answer. We don't need to go into that today. He gives them everything. Okay? How many know today, when you forsake all and you follow Him, there are rewards for you? Amen. There are rewards. And some of those rewards you won't see on this earth until He comes back. Are you willing to wait for those? Amen. Yes, because they will come. There is rewards for being a disciple today, for being a follower of Christ. But there's rewards even now as we live this life, okay, that is rewarding to us. Amen. And number one thing is we have salvation. Today in our membership class, that was the first thing we talked about was is to be a real believer, you got to have salvation. Amen. If you don't have salvation, nothing else matters. And that's what we receive as a disciple. We walk in our salvation with the Lord. So you think about Peter. You know, Peter was a leader. Okay? Peter wrote different books in the New Testament that we can read. Okay? Peter was one of the leaders with Paul, one of the two main leaders in the New Testament. So Peter had to be tight with God. All right? Yes, when you look at Peter though today, you can say, you know what? I'm like Peter because, you know, Peter made mistakes. Amen? He really did. How many know that today? Peter made some pretty serious mistakes. But Peter changed. Okay? God changed Peter. Amen? As time went on, God began to work in Peter's life, just like He works in our life today. You know, Peter was not perfect. Amen? James and John were not perfect. How many know that today? But they were close to God. Okay? I don't know if you know this. In the Scriptures, James and John, their nickname was called the Sons of Thunder. Did you know that? They were called the Sons of Thunder. Why? Because they had so much fire, okay? They had so much ambition, and sometimes it was overboard, okay? They moved before they thought, all right? They might have had a good heart, but you know what? They weren't wise in the beginning. You know, they had to learn. They had to grow. And sometimes they would do things before thinking first. Does that sound like any of us today? Amen? You know, we got to think first. Amen? Then move. All right? So these three were not perfect. They were not, you know, without sin. But their hearts were right. Okay? God wants our heart right today. God wants us to be in that inner circle. But He doesn't make us do that. You got to have a want to today. You got to have a desire today. Amen. I want to show you another scripture here about not only James and John, but it talks about all of the inner circle. But here it's James and John. Mark 10, right in the same section there. Just go over to the next book. Mark 10, I'm going to read this real fast, because this is going to make my last point to you today. In Mark 10, 35 to 45, let's just read this, okay? And this is James and John, all right? It says, in James and John, in verse 35, who were the sons of Zebedee, they come unto Him, saying, Master, they're talking to Jesus, we would that Thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. They must have felt close to God, because they had no problem asking this to Jesus, okay? He says, and He said unto them, what would ye that I should do for you? Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? All right? He says, they said unto Him, grant unto us that we may sit one on the right hand and one on the left hand in Thy glory. Wow. See what I mean about they didn't think sometimes before they spoke? They had a good heart. You know, they had ambition. That's what I want you to see here. They had much ambition, and we need ambition today. That's important, okay? But Jesus said unto them in 38, ye know not what you ask. Can you drink of the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? Saying, are you going to go through what I go through? Are you willing to die and go to the cross like I'm going to? I mean, that's what He was saying. I don't know if they understood that, but He's, you know, that's what He was trying to tell them. Amen. And they said unto Him, we can. Real fast, okay? We can. And Jesus said unto them, you shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. Let me keep going. And when the ten heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. There's a jealousy. Okay, we've talked about this before. But Jesus called them to him and said unto them, you know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But it's different with us. He shows them here. It says, but so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. Which that means here, whoever is going to be great among you is going to be a servant. Thank you. I got one amen. Praise God. Should have got more amens, all right? So he tells James and John and the other disciples, you know what? You're not going to be a lord, or you're not going to be authoritative like people are in the world. But if you want to be great in my kingdom, you're going to be a servant. You'll be a minister. Okay? He says that whosoever you will be the chiefest or be the top dog, you want to be the chief. Okay? He says that person shall be servant of all. Thank you. Another one. Amen. Praise God. At least I got one. I better be thankful for that. Amen. So you want to be great? You want to be a chief, or you want to be on top? God tells them, James and John especially, you got to be a servant. Amen. The servant of all. Hallelujah. He says, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto you, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. See, Jesus gave us our example. When Jesus came, he didn't come so people could serve him, so people would minister unto him. That's not why Jesus came. He says, I came to minister to. Amen. I came to be a servant to you. Amen. Not to be ministered unto, or to have people serve me. Okay? Sometimes people get that confused when they think about Jesus. Okay? He says he came to give his life a ransom for many. All right? What an example today we have. Praise God. Why were these three different or separate than the other ones? I think they got this more. Okay? I think they understood this more. All right? It took time for them to get it, but they had a heart like God. Okay? They had a servant heart. Amen? How many know James, the apostle? He's also called the beloved disciple, all right? Because he was always on Jesus' breast. We read about that, amen? He was close to Jesus. I mean, he actually leaned on Jesus, okay? That's how close John was, all right? James, we know James was a tremendous man of God. He actually was a leader of the church in Jerusalem. In the book of Acts, you can read about James and how God used him in leadership. All right, so all three of these men were totally dedicated to God. Okay, they were servants of God. They went all the way. And because of that, we look at them as the inner circle. Okay, very important today that we understand that. They had ambition. Okay, they were servants of God. They had a heart. They had the same kind of heart that Jesus had for people. Can I get an amen? So you got to have a heart for people. You got to care for people. You got to love people. Jesus loved us. That's why he did what he did. His motivation came because he loved people, right? We have to love people to do. If you don't care about so-and-so, you're not going to do anything for him today. Amen? That's where the servant heart comes in. I'm just about done here. You don't have to turn to this scripture. Let me read it to you. In Luke 19:10, this is a scripture we read on Wednesday. It says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Let me say that again. Why did the Son of Man come? Why did Jesus come? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. What's lost? Mankind. Us. Amen? See, we want our church to grow. We got to seek like Jesus sought us. Amen? We gotta want to seek people, meaning we need to go find people that are hurting, that have a need, that we might be able to help and say, you know what, I can help you with this, but I can really lead you to the one that can really change everything in your life. And His name is Jesus. See, Jesus' motivation was helping people. So what did He do? He sought for people, and He tried to help them by saving them. Amen. That's what we want to do today. Praise God. We need everybody to be on the same page for us to be successful here at Oriole. All right? It can't be just the council team. That's kind of my inner group. Not that they're any special than anybody else here, and others do a lot of things too, but I'm just going to use them as an example. I depend on them to do a lot. Okay? When I feel a certain way about something, I usually share it with them, okay? Just like Jesus did with the disciples, right? I look to them to help, all right? Because they it doesn't matter what's on their plate, they're willing to do, all right? They don't have a limit. When I tell them, you know, can you help me with this? Can you do this? If they can do it, you know what? They're willing, praise God. We all need to be that way today, amen? All of us can do something in the kingdom here. And it'll be tremendous when we get that place, okay? I got one more thing I'm going to read you real quick. You don't have to turn to it. I just saw this today. It's really a blessing. In John 1:43, let me read it to you real quick. It says, "The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and He findeth Philip, and He saith unto him, Follow Me." What did Jesus do? He went to seek and save. That seeking means you're going to find people. Amen. Jesus, He found Philip. Okay? Philip didn't find Him. Philip, that's a good name. Amen. He's smiling right now. Praise God. Amen. Jesus found Philip. But I want you to listen to one more thing in verse 45. It said, "Then Philip findeth Nathanael." Amen. "And he saith unto him, We have found Him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." So Jesus, He found Philip. Amen. And then what happened? Philip found Nathanael. Amen. And then Pastor Rich found Carmella. Amen. And then Carmella found Enza. How many get it today? Amen. See, it's a trickling effect. It's a domino effect. Okay. God has what? Found us. So now, who are we going to find? Amen? Who are we going to find? Praise God. Who are we going to lead to Jesus like somebody led us to Jesus? Amen? That's what it's all about today. Let's stand. Praise God. I hope I got your attention today. Amen? Inner circle or outer circle. I'm just going to ask you, where are you today? Amen? Do you feel you're in that inner circle where you feel real close to God? Amen? You're hearing the voice of God. You know what? God is showing you things. You know, you're sold out to God. If Jesus tells you go, you're going to go. Amen? If the Lord speaks to the pastor and the pastor comes and says something to you, you're saying, I'm willing, Lord. I'm ready. I'm obedient. Amen. Are you in that inner circle? Praise God. It's a special group. Amen. And I don't pick the group. Amen. Even Jesus doesn't pick the group. You decide if you want to be in that circle. Amen. Or today, you're part of the group today. You're in the church. You're saved. But you know what? You're kind of on the outside. Amen. Where you don't feel real close to God. You know, yeah, you might read your Bible every so often and you might pray a little bit and you come to church pretty much, okay? You might miss sometimes, no big deal. You know what I'm saying? There's a difference today, okay? And God is looking to you, your heart, okay? So I want you to close your eyes with me for a moment as we pray. And I want you to look at yourself. It's not a time for me to judge you or you to judge anybody else here. It's just a time for you to look at and say, where am I? Am I in the circle? Hallelujah. Am I in the inner circle? I ask, do I want to be in the inner circle? Is that my heart's desire today? To be in that place where I'm so close to Jesus. Amen. That I can go and pray for somebody and really believe they're going to get healed. Amen. Am I in that place? Or I'm kind of there, but I'm on the outside. And I need to make some changes. Hallelujah. I need to move in a different direction this year of 2010. I really need to trust God more than ever. I need to really fear God. I need to make some changes. Lord, help me today. Hallelujah. If that's you, I want you to be honest with God. Hallelujah. As we pray. Lord, we thank you for this time. Lord, we thank you for your word that speaks to us, Lord. It shows us so much, God. Your word is so revealing. It's just so vibrant today, God. And I pray, Lord, that this message of the inner circle has brought an attention to our spirit, God. Has brought us to a place that we can look at ourselves and see where we're at, Lord, today. God, I pray that everyone in this room today would want to be part of that inner circle. Lord, I don't think we're all there, but we can get there in Jesus' name. We can get there, Lord, if we have a desire, if we have a want to, Lord. If we have ambition like James and John did, Lord. If we can forsake, Lord, a lot to come to be a part of this, Lord. We can get there, but we got to have a want to, Lord. We got to love you more than anybody else in this world. And we got to love people, Lord. So God, I pray that we would just examine ourselves right now. In the name of Jesus. Lord, speak to each one of us right now by your Spirit. Hallelujah. Speak to us, Lord. Lord, and I would say, Lord, those of us who have, and this is all of us, Lord, we have fallen short from time to time. We have fallen short, Lord, of what you expect of us and what you command of us. So, Lord, we ask today you forgive us, Lord. Lord, we repent of our shortcomings today. And Lord, we would ask that you would heal us and strengthen us, Lord, that we could become the new Peter, James, and John of this time frame, Lord. They were the inner circle of that time. But Lord, we need to be the inner circle of this time frame, Lord. So God, today, I ask for your anointing to be on each one, for your blessing to be on each one, Lord, that we would have this desire, God, to be close to you, that, Lord, we would have a desire not only to walk with you and love you and serve you, but, Lord, that we would seek and find the lost and help them get saved, Lord. God, this is our prayer today. Touch each one, Lord. Change what needs to be changed in each one of us, Lord. Fix what needs to be fixed, Lord, today, God. Lord, take out what needs to be taken out and put in what needs to be put in, Lord. You are the master builder. Build us today in your image, we pray, God. We ask this today in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.